Welcome to Essence, your weekly dose of Essence magazine. I am Cherise Stevens, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I am reading articles from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence magazine. Some of the articles I will be reading are The Business of Being Drewski. From social media platforms to sold-out stages, the comedy master pushed open his own doors, and 27 million fans followed him. Permission revoked. Why you don't need permission to live boldly. And power players. The Business of Being Drewski. From viral skits to sold-out stages, this creative is proving that betting on yourself pays off. By Kimberly Wilson. When I hear about someone's backstory, I can usually pinpoint the twist in their origin might be. The moment in time when someone who may have started out good takes a turn toward darkness. It could be an incident or even an internal reflection that puts the person on a journey toward mayhem and, in some cases, destruction. In movies, we saw this with Killmonger in Black Panther, and with Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight. Is real life ever that dramatic? Perhaps not. But one can still see clear representations of how such situations play out. Then there are those who confront similar harsh experiences, yet manage to stay on the path of light, and even draw lessons from their hardships to make future audiences laugh. For comedian and internet personality Drew DeBordis, a.k.a. Drewski, I imagine his turn toward darkness could have begun with his high school teacher's words, sitting in class next to a star athlete destined for Division I football. The future comedy mogul listened as his teacher publicly humiliated him in front of his peers. "Don't sit next to Drew," she announced. "He's not going to the same place as you're going in life. You need to be sitting over here." For many Black young men, those words could have been a verdict. They could have delivered a self-esteem hit that caused irreparable damage to an impressionable teen. Drewski was still figuring out how to get around Atlanta, let alone how to make his way through the world. One could write a whole separate piece on how educators can better support creatives pursuing non-traditional careers, but that's a story for another day. Now, over a decade later, Drewski will be headlining his own global comedy tour. It kicks off at London's OVO Arena, Wembley, and features stops at arenas across America. I don't know where that young football player from Drewski's high school is, but he actually could have learned a thing or two sitting next to Drewski. Because that teacher's prediction could not have been more wrong. One thing worth noting is that meeting Drewski is the farthest you'd actually come from finding a villain. When we spoke, he was kind, charismatic, and one of the most humble celebrities I have met in a long time, especially given the tremendous amount of success he's garnered in a seemingly short amount of time. Drewski isn't just next. He's right now. But that's the thing. He hasn't caught up to all of it quite yet. "I'm not going to lie. I've been mind blown," Drewski says, reflecting on what his teenage self would think of his current success. Back then, he was contemplating dropping out of high school, frustrated by an education system that seemed to reject him for his natural comedic gifts. "I was going through a crisis," he admits. "I really was. Everything I did, it was wrong in the eyes of the school." But sticking it out ended up being beneficial because those classmates who laughed at his antics became his first audience. Now, with 27 million followers across social platforms, he's something many entertainment executives are fighting to find, a talent who can build loyal audiences with authenticity and integrity. But this man had a plan, even when nobody else could see it. "I knew I had purpose," Drewski says. "Comedy had been on my mind for a long time, and I just kept kind of ignoring it in a way. For me, at the time, it had nothing to do with any business behind it. It was just the love of comedy and just doing it because I felt like it was my purpose. Season 1 of his self-produced YouTube series, Coulda Been House, pulled 58 million views across 8 episodes. Season 2, featuring appearances from Lil Baby, Rick Ross, and Kevin Hart, continued this momentum. His dating show, Coulda Been Love, hit 80 million total views across 7 episodes. That's an average of 11.4 million views per episode, which in today's era of short attention spans and moving on to the next big thing seems astronomical. And the best part about it, every single one of those views came after Hollywood told him no. We tried to get Netflix, we tried to get Amazon, we tried to get Hulu, Drewski says. We tried to get a lot of companies who believe in the short form shows. Everything was a no, back to back to back to back to back. Most people would have taken that as a sign to pivot, or even to compromise their initial vision, to fit what industry executives said they wanted to see. But Drewski saw it differently. I started saying, all right, if I believe in myself this much, and I've made it this far believing in myself, what if I take the money I'm getting from some of those companies that are paying me and start to make my own productions? And that's exactly what he did. If he couldn't find a way, he was going to make one. Ultimately, he spent what totaled millions of his own dollars on For Lifers Entertainment, while other newly wealthy entertainers were buying chains and cars. Drewski was building a production company. My first big purchase was reinvesting in myself for sure, he says. His lifestyle reflects this philosophy in ways that would probably confuse a lot of people in his tax bracket, especially after they've touched the first big check. I wear Birkenstocks and Patagonia or camouflage shirts and baseball jerseys, he says with a laugh when I asked what he did when it came to his first bit of money, after seeing some success. I don't even have a watch right now. I need to actually get a watch. Only a person who has been at the bottom could understand this mentality and the kind of hustle and grind that kept him going. As we've established that he didn't learn it in school or in a textbook, he was determined to make it. And the only way he knew of to do so was to study both the wins and the spectacular losses of the entertainment business. I tend to watch a lot of real-life documentaries, he says. I would study the failures and the good things about the people I looked up to, even if they might have been somebody who was once famous but fell off. Talk about a smart move. The entertainment graveyard is full of people who make the wrong choices with their money and their brands. Drewski figured if he was going to avoid those mistakes, he needed to understand exactly how those same people crashed and burned. One of the biggest and perhaps hardest lessons he had to master? Learning when to say no, even when the money was tempting. Because boy, did some of those offers sound good. I always look to make sure it's something that's on brand for everything that I'm doing, he explains. I'm not going to work with a great company and then go work with a BS company just because the money's crazy. Trust me, we've been offered a lot of money for some wild deals. The temptation is real. When you're looking at life-changing money, it's hard to think about long-term brand damage. But Drewski has seen what happens to creators who chase every check. It's good in the moment for the people that do it, he reflects. But in the long run, you just see the downfall of it over time. Years later, you're like, dang, what happened to the people that once believed in me? Where did they go? Enter Kevin Hart, who became both mentor and collaborator after recognizing something in Drewski that maybe even Drewski didn't at the time fully see. Hart's influence on his business approach has been huge, particularly around the importance of relationships over money grabs. The main piece of advice that he gave me and Kai, Twitch streamer Kai Sanat, is to just make sure that we're doing it right, Drewski says. You're going to go through no's, but just find a yes out of the no's. He is relentless. Hart's emphasis on patience and relationship building is something Drewski took to heart. It's not about money, money, money. It's about relationships. You can make a room full of people laugh, but do you have the same relationships with some of the people that can put you in a great position? I'll be the first to admit, his joint effort with Hart and Sinat is the type of content that I, and the internet, didn't know we all needed, especially during these crazy times. And that undeniable material has produced viral content, and now a feature film, with all three contributors maintaining their individual brands while creating something bigger together. Everybody pulls their own weight in the trio that we have, Drewski said. You don't see too many people that are able to work together well and naturally just be funny together. And that is just one piece of Drewski's larger pie. His real power moves come in the form of transforming his brand deals into something bigger. Instead of just taking checks from major companies, For Lifers Entertainment partners with them in a legitimate production house. When we did the Google commercial, For Lifers collabed with Google on that production, Drewski explains. Or when we do any of my Nike commercial stuff, we collab with them, with my production company. Now we've gotten to a point where it is a little bit more respected than it was when I just had to believe in myself. His content philosophy is simple but effective. Never repeat yourself. Always evolve. I don't try to do anything twice, and I try not to get my fan base bored of anything that I do, he says. Each skit needs to feel fresh, and his characters work because they're pulled from real observations. People watch and think, I know exactly that type of person. Staying grounded when your life changes this dramatically requires intentional choices. Drewski was given opportunities to relocate to Los Angeles. He tried it for 6 months and hightailed it back to Atlanta. I didn't feel down to earth, he says, and I don't feel down to earth. I can't give the world the best of me because the best thing about me is being relatable. That relatability is what separates him from other comedians. His characters work because people recognize them, and that's probably because we've all met these people in real life. Though I did tell Drewski I can't believe some of the people he's parodying in his skits actually go along with this. His maintaining that connection to regular folks is probably why his international fan base has grown so quickly. Which brings us to what might be his most ambitious project yet, the CUDA Fest Tour, launching September 13 at OVO Arena, Wembley, the day after his birthday, because why not make it personal? This arena tour is a major scale up from his previous theater shows. It will feature a hybrid format that mixes comedy and music with guests including Big Extha Plug, Soulja Boy, and Young M.A., plus special appearances from Snoop Dogg and Lil Yachty. It's a mixture of something that you really haven't seen before, a 50-50 blend of music and comedy, Drewski states. The concept proved successful when the original CUDA Fest at Atlanta State Farm Arena sold out, featuring appearances from Kai Cenat, 21 Savage, Glorilla, and Meek Mill. It's safe to say, I'll be there with bells and whistles on, and so should you. Because in an industry where creators usually sacrifice ownership for opportunity, Drewski found another path, betting everything on his vision and working until everyone else had no choice but to believe in it too. We believe. As it turns out, the business of being Drewski is just the business of being authentically yourself and smart enough to turn that authenticity into an empire. Essence Power Players 2025. As Essence celebrates 55 transformative years, we honor the boundary breakers, dream builders, and culture shifters who are rewriting the rules of power and winning. By Kimberly Wilson. In a world that's constantly trying to box us in, these luminaries are breaking down barriers, building bridges, and creating entirely new spaces where we can flourish. They're the CEOs who remember where they came from, the artists who refuse to be silenced, the entrepreneurs turning their pain into purpose, and the athletes using their platforms to uplift entire communities. Meet the visionaries who aren't just changing the rules, You are listening to Essence with Sharice Stevens on Sun Sounds of Arizona. They are creating entirely new playing fields. Essence presents its 2025 class of innovators and power brokers who are reinventing the game. In music, Catherine Bruton, age undisclosed, title Vice President Creative, BMI. Catherine Bruton has spent over two decades at BMI, working with artists like Drake, DJ Khaled, Nas, Snoop Dogg, Nicki Minaj, Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, and Kenny Chesney. As a Black woman navigating the music industry in the early 90s, Bruton learned that every difficult experience was a chance to grow. When she opened BMI's first Atlanta office, she had no idea how much that experience would shape her into the seasoned executive she is today. This year, she was most proud of honoring Babyface with the BMI Icon Award, calling it a moment to give a legend his flowers. Her advice to the next generation: protect your vision, but stay open to the industry's ever-changing landscape. And remember that relationships are your currency. Gary Guidry, CEO, Shelby Joyner, President, and Troy Brown, CMO, the Black Promoters Collective, ages 52, 49, and 55, respectively. When eight Black entrepreneurs decided to take on Live Nation and AEG Live, some people wondered if they were crazy. Gary Guidry, Shelby Joyner, and Troy Brown are proving they aren't. As leaders of the Black Promoters Collective, they've built what's now the nation's largest Black-owned live entertainment company, celebrating a banner first half of 2025 with over $100 million in projected revenue. Guidry went broke twice chasing his dreams, but he refused to give up. Joyner lost his business in 2004 and was left bankrupt, but rebuilt from scratch. And Brown speaks of industry skepticism about whether a Black-owned collective could compete at the highest level. They answered by being undeniable. This year, they brought Brandy and Monica together for their first tour. And they saw their Jazz in the Gardens Festival named one of the top 10 festivals in the U.S. Their advice to the next generation: let passion lead you to purpose. Remember that setbacks are setups for comebacks, and build your career around purpose, not permission. Kiri Tyler, age 35, title, Music Producer, Music Director. Kiri Tyler had the kind of year most musicians can only dream of. The 2008 Mansfield Senior High School graduate won his first Grammy. As part of Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter production team, the record earned Album of the Year and Best Country Album, but that wasn't his only victory lap. He also served as musical director for the Cowboy Carter World Tour and saw his own band, Red Hands, hit number one. Tyler grew up in foster care with about 15 other kids and started playing piano in church at age 9. His biggest challenge was believing he could reach the heights he dreamed of, and he came from a place where opportunities don't come around often. The turning point came when he stopped trying to control everything and let God lead. His advice to the next generation: stay true to who you are. There are enough copycats in the world, and following someone else's blueprint will only take you so far. John Batiste, age 38, title, Musician, Composer, Bandleader. John Batiste is just an Emmy win away from an EGOT status, but he's not counting. The New Orleans musician is too busy infusing Black American classical music into European traditions and creating albums in record time. This year alone, he released his albums Beethoven Blues and Big Money within 9 months of each other. But Batiste's most powerful work came from his most painful moment, when his wife was diagnosed with a life-altering illness in the same week that he received 11 Grammy nominations. The couple had made a bold choice to document their journey openly. The result was American Symphony, the intimate Netflix documentary produced with Barack and Michelle Obama's Higher Ground that shows how love and music intertwine during life's hardest chapters. His advice to the next generation centers on identifying your circle of competence, defining your mission of service, and building your team with humility and grace. Chris Riddick-Tynes, age 34, title producer, executive producer, A&R. Chris Riddick-Tynes has spent 18 years in the music industry, learning one fundamental truth. The best songs come from helping artists say what they haven't been able to put into words. The producer and A&R executive calls himself an amplifier, taking the raw emotions and creativity that exist inside artists and helping them bring it to life. This year's career highlight was producing and A&Ring for Kalani, earning her trust to lead the creative process behind her powerful chart topper, Folded. Mentorship under Babyface and Antonio Dixon shaped his approach to music and business, which is why he tells young creatives to find someone who has walked their path and lean on their guidance. He's now taking a page from Berry Gordy's playbook, quietly building his own label and publishing venture, with a goal of creating an ecosystem where music artistry and ownership go hand in hand. Permission revoked. Why you don't need permission to live boldly. By Michelle Gee. As women, and especially as Black women, we are too often conditioned to wait. Wait until we're ready. Wait until someone notices. Wait until a man chooses us. Wait until our boss finally says, "You're next." I know that script because I've lived it. For too many years, I sat on my dreams, waiting for someone to hand me the validation I thought I needed. But let me tell you the truth. I had to learn the hard way. No one is coming to hand you a permission slip. And even if they did, you don't need it. Permission revoked. My journey. I spent decades climbing corporate ladders, sitting in boardrooms, negotiating contracts, and building brands. I've been the only one in the room more times than I can count. The only Black woman. The only woman, period. The one expected to shrink herself just enough to be tolerated. And still, I delivered. I grew revenue. I built teams. I turned ideas into movements. But behind the polished titles and the corner offices was a woman still battling doubt, still asking herself, "Am I enough?" Still waiting for someone else to validate what I already knew deep down, that I was born for this. The breakthrough came when I realized that my gifts didn't require permission. My success didn't need a cosign. My destiny wasn't waiting for an approval stamp. The moment I revoked the power I had given others to decide my worth, everything changed. Sis, you already have it. That's what I want to tell you. As you read this today, sis, you don't need validation or permission to start your own business. If God gave you the vision, He's already equipped you with the provision. Stop waiting for a perfect time. It doesn't exist. Ask for that promotion. Your results speak louder than any resume. If they can't see your value, create a path where they have no choice but to do so. Find love. Love isn't about being chosen. It's about knowing you're worthy and showing up fully as yourself. Invest in yourself. Therapy, education, wellness, faith. You are not optional. You are essential. Permission revoked. Accountability is the highest form of self-love. Now, here's the part we don't always like to hear. Encouragement without accountability is empty. If you want your best life, you must be willing to hold yourself accountable. That means cutting off distractions, the scrolling, the comparisons, the excuses. It means keeping promises to yourself the way you keep promises to everyone else. If you can show up on time for a job that doesn't feed your soul, you can show up on time for your own dreams. Accountability is love in action. It's saying, I am worth the discipline. I am worth the focus. I am worth the investment. A word from our ancestors. Bell Hooks once said, to be truly visionary, we have to root our imagination in our concrete reality while simultaneously imagining possibilities beyond that reality. That's the balance, isn't it? Seeing clearly where we are, the fatigue, the fear, the distractions, but refusing to let it dictate where we're going. We imagine more, and then we act on it. Your new year starts now. The calendar may be turning, but your transformation doesn't have to wait until January 1. Your new year starts the moment you decide. It starts the moment you stop asking, am I allowed? And start declaring, I already am. As an executive, a mother, a woman of faith, I can tell you this. The titles don't matter. The resumes don't matter. The applause doesn't matter. What matters is the decision to stop handing out permission slips and start writing your own. The call forward. So here's my challenge to you as we close out this year. Write down the dream you've been waiting to start. Identify the distraction that's been stealing your time and cut it off. And make one investment in your health, your mind, your future before this year ends. Because here's the truth. Your best life isn't a fantasy. It's a decision. And the moment you revoke permission from fear, doubt, and delay, you'll step into the life you were always meant to live. Final word. Sis, you already are enough. You are already equipped. You are already worthy. Stop waiting for a stamp of approval the world was never meant to give you. Permission revoked. You have been listening to Essence with readings from the Fall-Winter 2025 issue of Essence Magazine. I am Charisse Stevens, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a great day.